Okay. Verse 33, when my prayers to the three jewels remain ineffectual, it is the weapon of evil karma returning on me for not entrusting myself to the way of the Buddha. From now on, I shall rely solely on the three jewels. Okay, so this is similar when our prayers to the three jewels remain ineffectual. Okay, so either when we've prayed for, you know, certain good things to happen this life, or we've prayed for realizations or whatever, you know, and our mind doesn't seem to change, or what we're praying for doesn't get actualized, to remember that this is the weapon of evil karma returning upon us. So instead of, you know, instead of accusing the three jewels, saying, oh, you know, Buddha, I offered you some bananas, you know, and I didn't get the job on it. You let me down. You know, gee, I wasted those bananas. I put them on the altar and I should have eaten them instead, you know, because I didn't get the job. You know, we shouldn't think like that. Yeah, we shouldn't regret our positive actions, and we shouldn't see the offerings that we make or the volunteer work we do, or, you know, something like doing business, okay? Because, you know, sometimes you'll see people, they're very clever. Buddha, if I get, you know, if I'm able to have a good relationship with this person and get married, then I'll make an offering to you. Okay, you find people who pray like this, you know? So it's kind of, Buddha, first you deliver the goods, then I'll make the offering. Okay, these people, first of all, they're looking at Buddha as an omnipotent creator god, which is the wrong way. And second of all, you know, we're not doing business with the Buddha. You know, I give you an offering, but, you know, first you deliver what I want so my life's good. Yeah, but instead, you know, we should just continually create the cause for goodness. You know, if we invest our life in creating the causes of goodness, goodness is going to come. Okay? And we don't need to worry about it. But, you know, why this doesn't happen is because we haven't entrusted ourselves to the way of the Buddha. Okay? Because the way of the Buddha is you just take delight in creating the causes of goodness and don't worry about the results. Okay, the way of the spiritually consumer mind is, you know, I want this, and, you know, I'll do as much practice as I need to do, give to get it, or, you know, I'll give as much offering as I need. And it, you know, it implies that we're doing business and we actually lack faith. Okay? So it's, I think, very important to, you know, that we have faith in the three jewels. And having faith in the three jewels means we have faith in the functioning of karma and its effects. We have faith in the power and advantages of developing love and compassion. Yeah, we have faith in the power of generosity and ethical discipline and what they do in our lives. Okay? And so because we, you know, we have faith in these methods, then we are happy to engage in them and to create the causes for them. Okay? So that's why the conclusion is, from now on I shall rely solely on the three jewels. So instead of getting attracted to worldly paths or wrong teachings or wrong views or being very skeptical about the Buddha's teachings, yeah, really trying to discern, you know, what is the correct view? What makes sense and what doesn't? Not what view makes my ego feel good. Okay. And I think that's why His Holiness really, really emphasizes using the power of reasoning in our spiritual practice. In other words, not just to believe something because it feels good. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of different things can feel good. Yeah. And, you know, I think I've told you the story about my friend who, you know, whose Hindu guru said, oh, you're the one and only disciple. I've been waiting years for you to turn up. And so, of course, you know, he was very flattered with this and devoted himself to this, what he now calls Charlatananda, for... you know, for quite a while, until, you know, he discovered that the guru was sexually abusing his two teenage daughters. You know, but he did what felt good. I mean, when a guru tells you, you know, they've been waiting for you to turn up because you're their best disciple, boy, ego gets a big perk, doesn't it? Okay? So instead of just following teachers or following paths that make our self-centeredness feel good, yeah, really using reasoning to discern, you know, what is a correct path? What are correct views? What exists or what doesn't? And so that's why, like on the Lamrim CDs, if you read His Holiness's endorsement of them, he really stresses the importance of doing the Lamrim meditations, you know, because it's by reflecting on the Buddha's teachings, not just by praying, okay, not just by visualizing, but by actually getting in there and reflecting on the meaning of the teachings, that then our mind becomes clearer and we're able to figure out, you know, what is correct view and what isn't. Yeah? Because if we don't develop that capacity, then, you know, we're so easily led here and there by anyone, basically. We used to study with Geshe Sonam Rinchen, and he was teaching one of Chandrakirti's texts, you know, Majjhimika Avatara, which is a lot, the chapter 6, which is all about emptiness. And, you know, he'd go into this whole refutation of the Samkhyas, which are, you know, it's some ancient Indian philosophy. Okay? And actually, the Samkhyas, some of the New Age beliefs have a lot of similarities with some of the Samkhya philosophy. You know, for example, the idea that there's this one universal substance that everything's created out of. You know, you find this in New Age teachings, don't you? There's one cosmic energy that gives rise to everything, you know, or one universal mind, and we all splinter off the one universal mind, and now we want to reabsorb with it. You know, you find those kind of philosophies, okay? So, you know, why are we studying the Samkhya philosophy to refute it? It doesn't seem to make very much sense to us to start with this philosophy. He said, yeah, but if you had a Samkhya teacher come here, you people are so stupid, you'd believe him. And he was right, you know? I mean, we're so proud, you know, we're Western educated little snotties here. But, you know, people can teach us who knows what, and you know, and we follow it. So, you know, he said it to us, and, you know, well, he was serious, but, you know, we didn't take offense. Okay, so from now on I shall rely solely on the three jewels. Okay, so trying to discern what's correct view, what's wrong view. Yeah. And so not just believing Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Oh yes, Buddha said it, I believe. No, but really thinking about what the Buddha said. Does it make sense logically? Does it fit with our life experience? Does it work when we practice it? Okay, so we're by no means encouraging blind faith in the Dharma, you know, because blind faith isn't very stable there.